So we're going to talk about the dealing with tests and trials. How many of you have ever been in a test? How many of you have ever been in a trial? You know, we all experience tests and trials. They come sometimes on a daily basis. I've watched Pastor Roma sometimes from the side, and I say, oh, my. And I back up a little bit because of some of the tests and trials that he's encountered over his life. And I'm sure that you've encountered many things as well. All of us go through certain circumstances and situations that we encounter, and we don't know what to do. But I tell you that God knows what to do, doesn't he? God always knows what to do. And just because you're going through a test and a trial doesn't mean that you're in sin. Doesn't mean that, you know, God don't love you. No, we're in this life and things happen. How many of you have ever made foolish decisions on your own? We've all had it different times. And we live with the regret of what we've done. You know, I've done many things. If I would write them all down, you'd probably say, you're not allowed to come to church. But guess what? God is a faithful God. And so sometimes we put ourselves into situations. And then sometimes this situations were with other people and they get you in trouble. Hey, I remember being a young kid and I had a friend named Terry. And we were young in elementary school and he went and he saw this cabinet and there was a couple of magnets in there. And he said, I'm going to take those. Well, I'm hanging with him. And so he took those magnets. Guess what? When it all came down to it, I took the magnets, eh? Why? Because you're by association. And so whatever he did, I happened to be along. And so his situation in stealing those magnets, I'm the guy who actually ended up getting blamed too for stealing those magnets. And so there's situations that we put ourselves in, and there's situations that other people put themselves into, and they interfere in our lives. And then we're just in a world that's sinful, eh? You know, when this world was corrupted, it wasn't like that in the beginning. It was a party zone. Amen. There had all these multitudes of trees to eat. God said, go ahead and eat of them all. Just that one tree over there, don't touch it. Or don't actually, he didn't say touch it. He said, don't eat of it. The day you eat of it is the day you die. And so they had all this fruit there having a good time. But everybody wants to go where it's not supposed to go. And they went over there, they ate of the fruit. But how many know God didn't leave them there? He made a way for them to get back into fellowship. You know, God fellowshiped in the cool of the evening. And that's what God wants for every one of us. He wants to fellowship with us. That no matter what you go through, sometimes God gets blamed for the things that are happening in our lives. He gets blamed when he's not to blame. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's a good God. I never, ever, ever, ever look at him with a meanness and say, God, you cheated me out of life. You cheated me here, you cheated me there. Because I know he didn't cheat nobody. Amen. Amen. He's a good God and his mercy endures forever. And he loves me with everlasting love. And if I ever get to a place where I'm mad at him, guess what? I'm the one that's wrong. And if you ever get to a place where you're upset with God because of something that's going on in your life, whether you did it yourself or whether others did it or whether it's just life in general that happened, guess what? That is life. But God wants to strengthen you and help you and know that he's a good God. I had to haul 150 Mexicans the other day. They were staying at the ORU. I'm not sure what they're doing there. But anyways, I had 6 bus loads of 150 Mexicans I took to Quecabeca. And that was interesting unto itself when 50 of them strayed off. And then so that took away from my time. I've got Saturday. I've got things I got to do, right? I want to relax, maybe barbecue, maybe go to the beach. If there was a beach, go by water. And so sometimes tests and trials, they come. And I remember seeing this nice big gopher. I saw a gopher. It was this big. And I kid you not, right by the side of the road. And I looked at that gopher. I thought, oh, is that ever cute? I would love, you know, it reminded me of Mocha a little bit, my dog. And that gopher was so big. He was this big, and he was so nice. He was sitting there by the highway. I thought, oh, that's nice. So I went and got the Mexicans, and I came back. And I come back, and guess what? Right in the middle of the highway, that nice gopher is laid out. Blood all over, and I'm not exaggerating. I thought, oh, that was so short-lived. And sometimes life is like that, eh? something's going good. And then it's on the highway. And so there's tests and there's trial. And I feel for that gopher. Man, I would have took that gopher home any time of the day. He was so big. He was big. He was this big. It must have been a groundhog, not a gopher, because groundhogs are bigger. And so that's sometimes in life. You know, things are just great. You see something that's just so beautiful. And then something happens, bada boom, bada bang. Something happens. And so we got to know that through any test and any trial, God is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. The most important thing is to become born again. If you're in this place and you're not born again, that's the starting place, is to accept Christ. And sometimes we accept Christ and we think, well, everything's going to be perfect. No. A baby that's born is just a little bitty baby. And sometimes we think we got saved, you know, everything's going to be just honky-dory. No, things happen. We grow up. There's the teenage years. Aren't those fun? And then there's the 20s, and then the 30s, and the 40s, and the 50s, and the 60s, and then there's some people in their 80s. Hallelujah. Let's give Calco and them a hand, and Jeanette Bailey, and Grace. You know, there's several 80-year-olds in this church. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I want to be 80. Someday I will be, by the grace of God. But then there's 90. And so all through life, God wants us to know that He is for us and He's not against us. He is a good God. So we're going to go through dealing with life's tests and trials and temptation. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13. And again, Pastor Roma texted this morning, and I told him that we'll send your greeting here, his love. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Amen. Everybody goes through tests. Everybody goes through trials. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Everybody say, a way of escape. And so you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried. And God never says, sometimes I listen to the Christian radio and it bothers me because sometimes they put God in, you know, God's putting me through this test, God's putting me through this trial. Praise the Lord, I'm half dead, but glory be. You know, he's teaching me something. Yeah, he's teaching you to quit blaming him. He's not teaching you anything in that circumstances, but guess what? Usually people, when they go through a test and a trial, they immediately go to God. And then when God speaks to them, they feel great about it, and they say, well, God taught me something. Yeah, He taught you something because you took the time out of your busy schedule to go see Him because you were in dire straits. Right? When people are in dire straits, some family member passes away or something, oh, everybody gets all, you know, oh, they just gather around, you know, and then they start to look to the Lord. Yeah, we look to the Lord, but we should look to the Lord before the member goes, hey? Amen. Look to the Lord before the member goes. Then you don't have to wonder, hey, what's God teaching you? Hey, He'll teach you something before any tragedy he comes. In fact, He warn you at things to come. I love my Jesus, the master of the universe. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Test is on. The trial is on. He's sweating big drops of blood. You know, the pressure is on. The squeeze is there. And guess what? He said, okay, guys, they're here. Before they even came, He knew they were there. Why? Because He was full, jam-packed with the Holy Spirit. He knew that there was a situation that was going to arise, and He had to be filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus gave up all His power, all His majesty, all His glory, and came down as a little bitty baby. And as He grew, when He was 30 years old, He had to be filled with the Spirit of God. So everything He did was a man filled with the Spirit of God. And that's like you and that's like me, now filled with the Spirit of God. And anything you do good in life for God, guess what? You'll do it by the power of God. You'll do it by the Spirit of the living God, just like Jesus. Because if He is deity come down to earth, well, then how are we ever supposed to be like Him? He's deity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We just have to look and say, well, yeah, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Wow. No, but He came down as a baby filled with the Holy Ghost, jam-packed with the Holy Ghost. And now the Bible tells us, be filled with the Spirit of God. Speak into yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord Almighty. And as you praise God, you'll be filled up with the presence of God. You'll be filled up with the Spirit of God. And then you can handle life a little more better. Amen? And I tell you, having four kids, there's a couple of them over there, you know, your joy level can go down because they don't act exactly just like you. Well, they're not supposed to act like me. I would like them to act some good things that I do, like I do read my Bible. I hope they read their Bible. You know, I do some good things, but guess what? Through circumstances, you could lose your joy. And then, so I'm not representing God very good if I'm not joyful, if I'm not full of the peace of God, if I'm just walking in chaos. That's not good. That's not representing God good. But God wants us filled with the Spirit of God. So Jesus was filled, and guess what? We're going to have to be filled. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Everybody say, tempted by the devil. See, that's not God tempting anybody. That's not God tempting anybody. He's tempted by the devil. And as the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, he likes to make havoc in people's lives. Throw all kinds of things at them, say, oh no, you're no good. You'll never get that. You quit believing. Don't even trust in God. He's not here. Look at all the multitudes of people that don't serve God. They're wealthy. They're healthy. They got everything going for them. No, they don't have everything going for them. And it could be taken in a second and a moment, and they will spend eternity in a place called hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing in their teeth, where the worm dies not, where they're in constant torment night and day. Does that sound like a nice place? No, that doesn't sound like a nice place. And so God wants us to be empowered and to say, hey, yeah, those people, they may have some good things, some nice natural things, but we've got God. Hallelujah. And through God, we can have nice natural things, plus we can have a spiritual life. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus was tempted of the devil. Jesus was tempted of the devil. In Acts 27, verse 19, it says about the Apostle Paul, and a terrible storm raged for many days, and then the blotting out of the sun and the stars, and when all hope was gone. Have you ever felt that all hope was gone? Have you said that, oh, all hope is gone, it's impossible. My heart cries out for people. You know, when we went to the beach yesterday and we saw these people, you know, partying up, drinking, and I look at those people and I think, man, they really want to find happiness in life. They really want to find something, eh? They smoke their dope, they drink their beer, you know, and then they end up in a fight, apparently. I missed that one, but anyways. And the guy with on the, like this covered on the rocky bay there, and they're, you know, I'm watching these young people. And again, I say young people, they're both probably 25, 27. That's young. And so he's looking around, you know, back and forth, and he's got his little pipe there. And like, you would have to be totally out of this world not to understand what he's doing. But anyways, he's pretending he's hiding, eh? He's like this. He's walking around. I'm staring right at him. Hey, why even do that? You might as well just act like a normal person and fill your pipe up. And then he passes it around. And then I said, well, I'll just wait a few minutes and see how they're acting. Sure, 5-10 minutes, they're all, ha, 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 ha. You know, we're having a good time. But my heart breaks because of we lived in one house here in for 10 years in Adams Street. And the young boy, I seen that boy as growing up, he was this tall, then he was this tall, and then he died. And he died because of drugs. He died, his life ended. And so he was a nice little boy at one time, but no, he got hooked up with that stuff. And then it killed him. He died. And so that's horrible. So when I look at those people, I don't see them as plastered and drunk. I see that that's a human being that doesn't know where he's going, and he hurts. He could die. And so that's the way we should view some people, because God has mercy. Yeah, they're acting like ignoramuses. Yeah, maybe it would be good to beat the snot out of them if you could. But what's that going to help, eh? That's a human being, and they're going to be dead if we don't be able to pray maybe for them, say something to them. And so we view those people like that and want to have mercy and compassion on people, hey? Because we could be in the very same boat. So the terrible storm happened, and for many days there was no sun and no stars, and all hope was gone. So there was a hopeless situation for the Apostle Paul. But one thing about that scripture, did you know that God told him ahead of time? He said, this voyage is going to cause much harm and much damage. And so he knew what was going to happen. And so I want to say this morning that through any tests and any trials that you're going through, that God is going to be there with you and he's going to bring you out. Hallelujah. If you believe and trust him in his word, that he will speak and minister unto you. Hallelujah. So the first thing in dealing with temptation and tests is have a clean mind. Everybody say a clean mind. Because you got to think clearly. If your thinking is negative, if you're thinking is this is hopeless, guess what? It's hopeless. It's negative. But if you think clearly the way God wants us to think, the Bible says, have the mind of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ and think in line with his word that even though this is a tough situation, even though this is a test and a trial, guess what? God is there because God makes us aware of it. And we can pray, we can believe God, we can speak, we could do something to be a blessing unto them. So you got to have that clean mind. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you walk not. Everybody say, walk not. Walk not as other Gentiles or unbelievers in the vanity of their mind. So Ephesians 4:17 says that it's a vain mind. They don't think clearly. It's vanity. They're not thinking in line with God's word. So we got to have a clear mind that we're going to be able to think in line with God's holy written word. In Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but were vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart darkened. Now, I went to the graduation for my daughter, Kelsey. She graduated, and they said some things that were interesting over the course of the graduation. But they said one thing, someone said, your thoughts will give you words, and your words will give you actions. Your actions will give you some habits, and your habits will give you your beliefs. Your beliefs will give you your character, and your character will give you your destiny. And so your thoughts will give you some words to say, and your words will give you actions to do, and your actions are going to give you some habits. How many of you know that we can get some bad habits that are hindering us? Habits, and your habits are going to set your beliefs, and your beliefs are your character, and your character, your destiny. And so as we start to have a clean mind, guess what? That mind is going to filter down into our spirits. Hey, that mind is going to filter down into the spirit. Because if you think on things long enough, guess what? Things will happen. How many of you ever seen that show Ocean's 11? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you bunch of TV watchers. But anyways, there's a movie there. So they robbed this big bank or casino or whatever it was. But they had to do some planning. They had to do some thinking. And it's the same thing with us. We got to use this thing up here to think in line with God's word. Because if you just think negatively, if you just think hopelessly, guess what? That's going to get down into your spirit. And if it gets down into your spirit, then that's going to get your beliefs going, that you believe that, even though it was the wrong thought. Many times we think in line with certain things, and it's not even biblical. It's not even scriptural. We could think, oh, God's teaching me a lesson when I'm sick. No, he's not teaching you a lesson when you're sick. The Bible says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hallelujah. That's what he's teaching me, that he's the healer. He's the savior. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay, well then that's good. That's a good thing. A wife is a good thing. Hallelujah. A husband is a good thing if you want to be married. If you don't want to be married, that's fine too. Amen. The Apostle Paul says actually you're better off than those that want to be married. But God provided a way and a means. He's given us scriptures. And so we think in line with the scriptures. And as we think in line with the scriptures, it gets down into our spirits. It gets down into our hearts. And so so the mind can be an evil thing. But in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring them into captivity, every thought. So as you're walking in this life, as you're going to work, amen, have you ever went to work and maybe be irritated? How about you driving on the road? Were you ever irritated with some drivers? Amen. He's a good driver. I tried to get his attention many times. Hey! He's as cool as a cucumber. right? And then there, you can't get his attention. Maybe if you get a tomato or something and throw it against the window, he might look. But otherwise, he's a solid driver, bus driver. And so we have to know that things will come against us. Amen? Casting down imaginations and every evil thought, every thought, and bring it in, not into captivity to what Jesus has said. So if I'm thinking wrong, guess what? I'm going to change my thinking. If I'm thinking wrong about a person, guess what? No, the Bible says don't think ill towards anybody. I'm going to think good. Amen? I'm going to think positive. Hallelujah. Yeah, but they did me wrong. They hurt me. Yeah, we know that. And you could talk about it till the cows come home in the morning, and then they go back out to the field, and then they come back the next day. You're still talking about it. They go back out to the field. They come back. You're still talking about it. You go back that way. You know, you'll spend your whole life. And many times, nothing comes to mind right now, but some people are old, and you talk to them, and you speak to them, and you think that this is a fresh case of something that just happened. No, that happened years ago. And I had the privilege of doing a fifth step in AA, I believe it is, or some step there. I don't know the steps that good. But anyways, it's when one individual will come to another individual who they don't know and share intimate details about their life and get rid of it and get gone. So I went to a hotel room. Pastor Roma asked if I'd go over there. So I went over there. I sat down. I couldn't believe the stuff he was telling me. I said, wow. But yet it was so fresh. And this happened years and years ago. But yet it's so fresh. But I know how it feels sometimes, because I have a memory too. How many of you seen my sister? I hope she's not watching. But my sister, we had the most wonderful time while she was here. For 1 week, we had a great time. Makes me cry almost. We had a great time. But yet I remember her sitting at the table, forcing me to eat. Quite well. I believe it was macaroni and hamburger. And then I puked all over because I couldn't eat it. And so that was my memory. But yet the memories I have now is wonderful. Now that she's older than me and I'm 52. But so some of those things can be very sensitive, but guess what? God is able, hallelujah, to help you right where you're at and not to let those things hinder you and just think that, no, that's your life. That's what you got to do. Whatever you went through, the hell you went through, that's you. No, that's something that you went through. The Bible says, oh, you go through the valley of a shadow of death. Those things were death to you, but guess what? You come out of that valley, hallelujah. And it comes with good thinking. And the Bible says, cast down every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so we got to have that mind of Christ. And over in Proverbs 27 and verse 7, and this is a good scripture. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so as you start to think clear, or if you think negative, guess what? It gets down into your spirit. And there's a scripture. It says here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. And so from the heart, everybody say the heart.
The heart.
Proceed evil thoughts. Well, how can you think in your heart? You can think in your heart because that's how you believe. You believe exactly what's in your heart. And it's going to come right out of that thing below your nose, which is your mouth. And so you listen to people. You listen exactly what they say. That's exactly their belief. And that's exactly what they speak. And if their thinking is wrong, guess what? It gets into their spirit, and then they start to speak wrong. But God wants us to have the mind of Christ, that when we're thinking good, guess what? That starts to get into our spirit. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. God has a plan for me. Amen? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That he hath delivered me from the powers of darkness. Because greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. Because this is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so out of your belly flow forth rivers. Hallelujah. The rivers start to flow because you open up your mouth. and you say what God's word says. Not, I didn't come up with those words. God's word says it. Amen? I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't forgive myself enough. God's done it. He's forgiven me. He's washed me clean in the blood. He's cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. Hallelujah. I speak what God's word says. And because God said it, that's why I say it. That's why I believe it. I don't believe it on my own. You know, I did some, calculating here. And if we do this and that, you know, this is going to come out like, yeah, that's good. But guess what? I like it when God said, hey, God gave me that word. Amen. That's why I like preachers who say they've been called. Amen. Pastor Rum was a good one. You know, I'm called a pastor. Bless God. Amen. And that's what he's doing. There was a guy in Winnipeg. Same thing. Zeno, his name is. And I went to church there when I was in Winnipeg for a couple of years. And he was pastoring. They were meeting in a school. He says, bless God. God called me to pastor this church. You know, okay. I believe you. Please don't hit me. And he's a nice man. Hallelujah. But it's good that people have a word from God. And then they know, hey, God spoke it. And that's why I believe it. And when you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you. Amen. Everybody say, this is God speaking to me. So what he says, that's exactly what he wants you to know. He exactly wants you to go. Amen. And don't just go any old way. You know, you got to take some time, hallelujah, and it's pressure. This life is full of time stealers. But if you take a moment of time and read it, hallelujah, it'll bless your heart, amen? Don't just walk down, you know, Judas went and hung himself. Okay, that's what I got to do, you know? Who knows what you could read? You can read anything if you just go like that. Sure, God's got grace on baby Christians. It might work a couple times, but sooner or later, it'll get to you. You just can't open up, you know, I gotta need a word from God. Who knows what you might see in there. But if you spend some time reading, guess what? It'll happen. So the number one is keep a clean mind. Everybody say clean mind.
Clean mind.
And then pure heart. So what you think on, guess what? It gets into your heart. For out of the heart, Matthew 15:19, proceed evil thoughts. How do you think with your heart? You thought with your heart because you were thinking with your head, and then it got into your heart. And that's what you believe about that guy. Amen? That's what you believe about that work situation. That's what you believe about this. That's what you believe about the government. That's what you believe about your auntie or anybody else. Guess what? You believe it. Why? Because you thought it long enough. That's what you come to the decision. But thank God that we could have the mind of Christ and that people's decisions and choices that they made, yeah, they were wrong. Some were wrong. Some were right. But I believe God's word, amen? And through it all, I could navigate my life, and he could help me through this situation. So out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery. What's adultery? That's sex out of marriage. That's adultery. So that means that someone married went and slept with someone else that was married, or someone that's not married. That would be fornication, I guess. But I'm not into get into a doctrinal debate. But anyways, adultery is one that was they slept around and they weren't supposed to sleep around with that individual because they were married or something like that. Okay? So how did that happen? Well, they thought about it in their head. I remember the time. I'm not on those lines. But I remember working on the railroad, and I don't know where I was, but I think it was Fort Frances, Ontario. But anyways, and I'm a new Christian, and I'm all excited about God. You know, he's so good to me. He's so good to me. I love him. He loves me. You know, we're having a good time. And then I'm in this hotel room, and the test comes. Wow. Hey, that almost sounds like AC/DC. But anyways, the test comes. It's not too far over there. You got nothing going for you. Single. You want to be married, but you're single. You know, you work a job, you go home, you sit in the hotel room. What do? Sitting there. You got no future. And so, through the window, I gaze. And there's an LBO, or whatever they call them. And the devil says, you don't need a 40 ounce, just a Mickey. Now, I'll use the drink, you understand, a Mickey is a smaller item. A 40 is 40 ounces of alcohol. That'll polish anybody off. But a Mickey is still quite reasonable. Just a Mickey. And the voices come, and the voices come. Come on! Until they're almost screaming, go get it! And that's the way the devil works. Go get it! Go get it! You deserve it! You've been given a bad rap! You got nothing going for you! Come on! Come on! Come on! And some of it's your flesh, some of it's the devil, some of it's who knows what. But that's the way he operates. And he continually pries and pries and pries and pries. But God is faithful, isn't he? God is faithful. Hallelujah. And in that case, I didn't go there. So I get a pat on the back of my own self, but I won't tell you all the other things I did. But anyways, that was a test and a trial and a temptation at that moment and not that time. And when you look at the past and you look at the future, God, it far exceeds anything like that. Far exceeds anything. You know, God takes you so far that it's unbelievable. And I could say, and I could tell you words that, you know, how faithful and how kind and how generous he is. But he does that. And that's the way God operates. You know, when I got married, we went and got this small apartment. Can you say small? But anyways, a small apartment. And so we're in there. I couldn't work in the States. Cindy's there. I just got married, 30 years old. You know, I'm a happy camper, but I can't work. And she's working for a ministry, Faith Christian Fellowship, and so I'm sitting there listening to some music, Christian music, crying away there, you know. And sometimes there doesn't seem to be much faith, but God is still faithful. Even in our unfaithfulness, he's still faithful. Amen? All of a sudden, someone says, hey, why don't you come since you can't work? Take care of this house. And it's a mansion. It was one of the oil barons' mansions on Fairview or whatever, I can't remember, but if you drive on the highway, it's a real historic old mansion. It has a pool and everything. They said, why don't you watch that place? We're trying to sell it. You live there. So we lived there for like 11 months, rent-free, swimming in the pool, until having a great time. And I think, God, you're so faithful. You know, I didn't deserve that. I was sitting there crying away, bawling and squalling. No, he helped me in that situation, in that case that I didn't do much believing at all, but it just a blessing came my way. And sometimes God wants us to step up and say, start believing now for that job. Believe. You know, I think of Brother Dave. You know, he come here, I listen to him. I want to work at Bombardier. I'm going to work at Bombardier. I'm going to work at Bombardier. Well, after 3 years, I thought maybe there's something wrong with him. But I want to work at Bombardier. I want to work at Bombardier. I want to work at Bombardier. And he's working at Bombardier. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's faithful, believing God for something. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get God's word and start to think about it and then get it in our hearts. So out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adultery, sexual immorality, thefts, stealing could be in your heart. You're thinking about it in your head, then it gets into your heart. Lying. That's a nasty one. Is lying. God does not want us to have a heart that is full of lies. He likes truth. Why? Because if he speaks a lie, guess what? The whole thing is a sham. Everything's a sham. The whole Bible's a sham. He's a liar. They're a liar. Everybody lies. No. He speaks always the truth. That means when he said it, he believes it. You know, when he said to Isaac or Abraham, whoever those guys at the beginning of faith, he said, your wife is going to have a baby. That's the word of the Lord to him. And if you find scripture like that, the Bible says you can believe for stuff like that. But him, God just spoke to him, and he said, you're going to have a baby. Well, the woman, whoever she was, Rebecca or Rachel, she laughed. She laughed. And God says, why is she laughing? And she said, oh, I didn't laugh. He said, but you did laugh. You know, God, we could try to think that he's like us, so to speak, that he doesn't speak the truth. No, if he said it, that means it's a done deal. He's all the laws of heaven and earth and everything. He said it, it's done. So a lying could be in the heart, and slander, which is evil, talking about someone else, which is not pleasant in God's eyes. Over in Proverbs 6:16, six things the Lord hates. Seven, he detests: haughty eyes, a lying tongue. So God tells us, I don't like it, a lying tongue. Hands that kill innocent, murderers, he doesn't like it. A heart that plots evil. So that's Proverbs 6:16, I think, or I'm not sure the scripture, but a heart that plots evil and feet that love to wrong, run to do evil. And so you don't want to get those things in your spirit, because if you get those things in your spirit, they're very hard to get out. Have you ever got any weeds in your garden? You know, and you start seeing those weeds, how they sprout up. Well, some bad things in our spirits can sprout up just like that, those weeds. They're everywhere. Some big ones, you grab them. Oh, I got this one pretty good. Throw it out. But then there's some little ones. And you don't want to get those things in your spirit. You want to think in line with God's word, and so you have a clean, clear mind and also a pure heart. And so God's the one that tries our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But if we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, we speak, not pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. So the third one, everybody say the third one. Okay, so we got a clean mind. We're talking about dealing with tests and trials. You got a clean mind, you got a pure heart, and everybody say a positive confession. Now that's what you want to have. You want to have a positive confession. The Bible says in Ephesians, not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, singing unto the Lord. And so you're going to have to sing a blessing. Amen? What does something that you go through or someone could go through that you say is bad and you needs deliverance? Say something. Lose your job. Okay, that's a bad one, and that's so you don't want to think about that too much. That might get in your heart. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my job. But guess what? In God's word, guess what God's word says? Thank you, Lord, that I got favor with God and favor with man. Amen? I'm not scared to lose my job. Why? Because God Almighty is the one who supplies and provides for my needs. Hallelujah. If I lose that job, guess what? I get a better job. Why? Because God's the one who supplies and provides my needs. Amen? And he's not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He's given me favor with God and favor with man. I've got favor. Amen. And just to tell you, since we're talking, we got a few minutes left, I got fired once. Amen. It was a great job at the time. I went to England. That's England out there twice. I went to Germany twice. I went to Northern Ireland. And I saw those beautiful things. You may think I'm lying, but I'm telling the truth. And so I was selling Christian books, and it was great. I was selling them. But I was selling them too cheap. And I gave some away. And so the boss called me in, and the human resources, they sat me down. I looked at them, and they said, "We got to let you go." I said, "What?" I never dreamed of it. And the Holy Spirit does remind us at times, but immediately I thought of the scriptures. Those poor people that are going to be condemned to hell forever. Thank you, Jesus. Because I felt so bad. I felt horrible. I was fired. You're fired. And it was mean. And it was cruel. And it was nasty. And I felt bad. I felt ashamed. So I went home. And that same day, the Twin Towers fell down. So it was a bummer day. You know, I'm watching the television, and the towers are burning, and the terrorists are killing, and who knows who's killing, and I'm fired. I felt bad. Amen. But I'm still here. Amen. I'm still alive, and God is still faithful. And in fact, last year, me and my wife gave more money almost than any other year in our whole entire life. Hallelujah. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Because God is faithful, amen? If I sit there and say, I got no job. No, you got a better job, amen? A better one, hallelujah! Glory be to God! With more money, amen? God's supplying and providing, hallelujah! And my boss, his name is Phil, he was a nice man, and actually I kept a good confession with him, and he was a very nice man. He called me up and he said, Ken! He said, He wanted me to sell books here in Canada, but that phase was over, and I didn't want to sell no more books. But anyways, he said, Ken, and I went and I saw him once in a hotel. He called me, and we went and had a great time of fellowship. And he said, you know, I really miss you. I miss you. Amen. Hallelujah. I miss you. He said that to me. And I said, Phil, the only thing that I feel bad about is when you sat me down and you fired me. And he looked at me and he says, I sat in that same chair you did. He got fired. But I was looking at him and I said, that's the time. And he said, Ken, I don't even remember that. You don't remember firing me. It was a devastation of my life. He said, no, I don't. What a great man. So anyways, we got to have that keep a good confession, singing or talking. Amen. Have that mind clean. Have a clean heart. Tell me something else about some test or trial maybe someone goes through. Sickness. So you got sickness. You know, here's sickness. Oh, God, got sickness. Guess what? You sing a song. You sing a song. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one who heals me. You deliver me from all my sicknesses. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Now I'm as healthy as a horse. Amen. I added horse. You don't have to go away from Scripture. But anyways, you can. But God is the one. Amen. He supplies health for me. Health. Hallelujah. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Thank you. You say, oh, you've been trying to believe God for years. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. And he does sometimes. There's supernatural and then there's spectacular. Spectacular would be instantaneously. But supernatural is just believing the word of God. God's word says it. Amen. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Amen. All my transgressions and healed all my diseases. He healed my diseases. He healed my diseases. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto your Lord and thanking him. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. God's faithful. God's faithful. God's faithful. And so you sing and you talk what God said. Tell him how good he is. And did you know, you don't have to be in a room full of people like this because they may think you're crazy. But guess what? If you get by yourself, hallelujah, nobody around. I asked God one day, I said, why? How are these people? You're going to stand before you. How do you know who's saved, not saved? So many people say the sinner's prayer. Lord, forgive me. Okay, now I'm born again. Okay, was there any change in your life? Are you acting a little bit different than the way you did before you accepted Christ? But he said, you know, I know everybody. I know whether they love me with every fiber of their being. They love Jesus. They love me. They call me Lord, Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah. Or did they just call him, hey, I know about Jesus. Jesus will say on that day, and I don't want it to be for any of us, but he'll say, Lord, we did this in your name. 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 He says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting darkness prepared for the devil and your name and his angels. I don't know you. And so God wants an intimate relationship with you. Amen. This is not doing something good. You know, if I do really good, my mom in Saskatchewan, oh, man, I'm trying to make her proud of me. You know, she is the last thing on my mind, even though she's one of the wonderful people. Amen? But I don't think about her. I think about my God, my Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe, who died for me because I could have been just like that little neighbor boy, dead at 20. Could have been just as easy, but yet God's mercy, and he's faithful. And he heard my heart's cry when I said, if there's anything you could do, please help me. I need some help. And he's helped me. Amen. Because he's faithful. He's faithful and just and true. Hallelujah. So we got to have correct words to sing songs of praise. I sing a lot of good songs by myself. Amen. And you're going to have to sing too when you're all by yourself, when there's nobody around. Nobody to pat you on the back saying, you did a good job. No, God's saying you did a good job. Amen. Thank God for people's praise. Thank God for good times and you did a good job and you did good. But guess what? The next minute, you're a piece of crap. You're no good. You're fired. But it doesn't matter, amen, because God is faithful. Hallelujah, he's a faithful God. And I pray this morning, if anything, that you get to know him, amen, and speak to him and love him with every fiber of your being, saying, Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, I love every bit of you, amen, my Lord and my Savior. That's breaking of your human will. That's crushing your own will, saying, not my will. My will is Dukes of Hazzard. Hey, woohoo! Wow! Roaming around and just doing whatever your flesh feels like. No! God wants you to do his will. Hallelujah. So we got here a good confession. So Matthew 12, 37, as we close, by thy words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Hallelujah. But God is faithful that he could use our words to bring a blessing unto people. I did have one more point. There's also, we're going to have to walk in love. Everybody say, walk in love. That means love does no ill to his neighbor. If what I'm doing is affecting that person in a negative way, guess what? I'm going to have to change. I've got to get clear thinking. I've got to get a pure heart, and because my heart has got God's word inside of it. And I'm going to have a good confession, but I'm also going to walk in love. How is your actions, your words affecting people? You say, well, it doesn't affect me. I can do whatever I need to do. But guess what? There's a little small person watching you from the side. And he says, oh, he's doing that. She's doing that. I could do that. No, they're going to mirror exactly what they see. And they're going to be just like it. When I was young, I always liked heroes, so to speak, but crazy heroes. You know, here in one of my first stories in elementary school, there's a guy named, I can't remember him. But anyways, but he was, and my friend's name was Gary. And Gary says, my brother Jimmy, he's so strong, man. He's tough. I immediately thought, wow, really? Yeah. He said, he got thrown in the back of the cop car the other day, and they handcuffed his hands. He broke the handcuffs and kicked out the window. I thought, man, this guy is Superman. And so I always thought, wow, this is a great guy. The years progress. They go on. And here, my older brother is working with Jimmy. And I said, Barry, you're working with Jimmy. That guy, he kicked the window out of a cop car. He broke the handcuffs. He said, Jimmy? He said, that guy got MS. He is in a wheelchair, and he's all crumpled up. It's horrible. I said, that's Jimmy? That's horrible. And so there goes my hero out the drain. Jimmy died now. I hope someone preached to him. But anyways, the moral of the story is we got to walk in love. Amen? We got to have a clean mind. We got to have a pure heart. We got to have a good, positive confession. Say what God's word says about you. Don't say something else. Don't say, I can't do this, I'm a failure, it never works out. No, by God's grace, hallelujah, it'll work out, amen. By God's grace, I get stronger and stronger day in and day out. Morning by morning, he reveals his will unto me. Hallelujah, every morning I get a fresh message from heaven. Why? Because he reveals his will unto me, morning by morning. He's the only one that's died for me. And also, when you walk in love, you walk in what God desires for us. Because even if you have all kinds of things and don't walk in love, guess what? It'll affect you. Amen? Brother Hagin would give us the story as we close. He gives us a story of a man that ministered 10,000 people. They would have tent meetings in the states around Texas. And he had 10,000 people in his tent. Full tent. But the Lord said to Brother Hagin, who was a prophet of God, said, go tell the man he's going to die. He's only 34 years old. Go tell the man he's going to die. He's only 34 years old. Go tell the man he's going to die. And the guy, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he's got three things. And one of them, he's not walking in love. He's not walking in love. He's got to walk in love. Amen? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love thinks more about you than it does about me. That's love. That's the God kind of love. That's not lust. Lust is, give me something. Come on. But love thinks more of the other person. So, that's all I have for this morning. So we thank God. Let's all stand. Let's thank God for a moment. Amen. That when you're going through a test, when you're going through a trial, you go ahead and have a nice mind that has thinks on God. You have a pure heart. Hallelujah. So let's all say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me, strengthening me through every test, through every trial, through every temptation. You help me come out on top. Amen. So let's give him a little praise. Father, we want to thank you that we love you and we praise you. Thank you for your presence. We speak your presence. We say your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Your presence is wonderful. We bask in your presence. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord delivers us from devils and demons and evil spirits. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. There's healing and health in your presence. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here right now. The third person of the Trinity is here right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now, strengthening, enabling, equipping, and helping. Hallelujah. Through every test, through every trial, through every temptation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comfort. Reveal Jesus unto us, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. O tarama siketa. And it's not for you to say, oh, look at what I've accomplished. Look what I've got. No, it's just the same. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've helped, that you've encouraged, that you brought through what I needed. I needed help in this area, and you brought us through. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're grateful people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God will do everything you believe him for. Everything you can believe him, that's what he'll do. Hallelujah. He'll go above and beyond. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power that's working in you. Inside of you is a power. It's ability. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take that ability, that power, because God's enabled you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for fresh understanding that we can have clear minds. Hallelujah, that we can enjoy the simple things of life and say, thank you, God, that you put us here on this earth for this time and this season. Hallelujah, and this place. Hallelujah. Sopo ko parangeta isparana nagita isavotakiramo tedamanadeha tedavirasi. And if you need to sing it, you sing it. You sing it to him. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. You're everything to me. Hallelujah. You died on Calvary's cross and forgave me of all my sins. You've healed me. You delivered me. You set me free. You blessed me and you put me in the family. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. May your power impact lives today. Hallelujah. And help us to look out. Hallelujah. For those that are lost. And those that need your touch. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, you will have a wonderful Sunday. Again, we love you. And we appreciate you. Go be a blessing unto somebody. Amen.